And we're back.
Hello.
Welcome to the Part-Time Gamers, gaming podcast for people with full-time lives. I'm your host, Cyrenex, and I am joined by my good friend, Pasu. Gristle is out for today. He, as far as I know, he's packing to go to New York for Memorial Day. So he unfortunately will not be joining us today, but I'm fortunate enough to have Pasu back. So awesome. How you been doing the last couple of weeks?
I've been doing everything. All yeah. Many things over and over. Actually, not over and over, all sorts of different things. Work is very dynamic and busy, so I'm glad to have time to get back to this.
Indeed, glad to have you back. By the way, since you probably didn't listen to the last show, we had an email from a listener who said that it's probably just easier for us to use our real names. So too bad, Paul. It just makes it more conversational, especially since we actually know each other in real life.
Yeah. I can do first name. I'll capitulate.
Yeah. Excuse me. Oh.
So yeah, how not be contagious through microphones.
Hey, yeah, you started, man. So what kind of, you're still pretty much hopelessly addicted to Hearthstone lately?
Hopelessly addicted. The beautiful part is I can play it for 5-10 minutes and squeeze it in, and I have enjoyed playing two matches of this Heroes of the Storm, but it took a little more time. It took preparation, and then I have to be at my computer. I can't just do it off my smartphone.
Yeah.
So I hope to get more opportunities to play it, but
yeah.
Part-time game. Good for about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, I really haven't done a whole lot in Hearthstone lately. I still need to rank up to 20 to get the card back. I think I'm still at like 23 or something like that right now. Mainly because I've still been just really getting into Heroes of the Storm.
Understandable.
Yeah, but we'll try to refrain from talking about that for now, because that's going to be topic for later. But so have you been looking forward to any games lately?
I was noticing, I think it was yesterday or the day before, my friend was playing Disturbed. No, not Disturbed. Dishonored. The other.
Oh, yeah.
Weird name that began with the D. And like, yeah, I heard this game was really good. It came out from the makers of Bioshock. I'm like, I haven't even heard of that. Am I so adultish that I'm not even hearing of like the games that are coming out? This is sad.
Adultish?
I used to get so into like hearing games that were going to come out, and I'd be so hyped, and then I'd think about it. I'm like, I'll never have time to play a game like that. But I'm at least excited for it. I'm like, I haven't even heard of that game.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, new.
Yeah.
But if you got anything, let me know. I love games, obviously. So.
Yeah. Well, Zach and I discussed Don't Starve Together last week. And we found out that it's actually on sale for Steam, or at least was last week. Have you had like any interest and or knowledge of Don't Starve?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Okay. It's kind of a trying to figure out how to describe it. It's like a world exploring kind of survival game. I'm trying to think of a parallel. I can't really think of a parallel other than like maybe Minecraft, except it's like an overhead view. And you're trying to just survive in this world that you find yourself in, and the world changes every time you start the game, or any time you start a new game. It's actually I've played it single player a few times right now. It's pretty fun. I'm really looking forward to playing it with other people though.
Is there a win condition?
Not really. It's just basically you're just trying to survive for as long as you can. And that's how you gain experience based on the number of days you survive. And you can unlock new characters and stuff like that through the experience.
So,
But
can you like save your game and come back to it
yeah.
later?
Yeah, you can.
But is it different when you log in from a game that you've
No.
already started? Okay.
No, it's
So,
just when you
anytime you start
start,
a new game.
when you start a new game, it creates a new world. But you can actually, it gives you quite a lot of options for what kind of world you want built too. Like even like how much of what resources you want access to. So you can, you can crank up one of the resources like carrots or berries or whatever, which is the basic food, and just hopefully start off with a lot of a big food supply and stuff. Or you can increase the number of like hostile creatures and just, get murdered in the face a bunch.
Challenge
Which
accepted.
it's like you can get killed by like toads and bees and stuff like that, which has happened to me because I am not good at this game. But
That's got to be a little bit embarrassing getting killed by a toad.
well, I
They
think the
like
toad I
toads.
was actually trying to get killed by it because I just didn't want to play that game anymore.
How did the toad kill you? Do tell how you died by the toad.
Well, first of all, the characters don't have a lot of health, and
This like a big
like
toad? Did it attack you?
it was like the size of a small dog, and it did attack. It
Okay, that's
kind
a
of
pretty big toad.
it like spit its tongue at you basically, and just hits you with his tongue.
Okay.
So,
Ooh, a bite to death.
combat is not a combat you for the most part is something to be avoided in that game. So,
Gotcha.
but it, other than, it's still a really fun game to play. I'm kind of looking forward to getting back into that and actually getting to play with other people. I've also been there. I don't know. There's just a couple random games on Steam that I would really like to get into. They all. Oh, I think Zach and I found out last week that the whole like X-Wing series, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and all that is on Steam, and I really want to get that.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I loved Battlefront and the
Yeah.
other Star Wars
They,
games
yeah, they've
before.
had Battlefront on there for a while too. That was really fun when we played that too.
About a month or so ago, I picked up Battlefront 2 and played with a couple friends, and that was just a riot. They were way better than me because they were much more into FPSs back in the day. But Battlefront was the one game that I'd play a lot, and I kind of held my own. It was just a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. I still remember playing that with Zach and some of the other guys, and we would purposely pick the space levels, and I would just immediately jump into a Y-wing, destroy like an enemy frigate, and like level up and get all sorts of bonuses and stuff like that because it was relatively easy to do that, and then
Right.
just like switch characters later and just annihilate stuff.
My favorite was splicing the enemy pilots as soon as they got into the vehicle, and then they just crash as they left the hangar. That
Yeah.
was a lot of fun. Because you're
Oh, I just.
splicing spacecraft so fast. It's like 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. And they're just taking off, and then they crash and die, and you're like, ha ha ha, sucker.
Yeah. I actually remember this one time we were playing on Dagobah, and Zach got access to Yoda. So he's going around as Yoda, just cutting up stormtroopers left and right. And there is one point where he charges forward, slashes through one stormtrooper, and then slashes through three rebel troopers behind
Oops.
Yeah, and it was so funny. But yeah, that game was a lot of fun. You know what? I still haven't seen the trailer for the new one yet. I need to do that.
Think I watched it, but it's slipping away now.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you got really quiet all of a sudden.
I got really quiet. Am I quiet now?
A little bit better.
Okay, I was probably just mumbling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's also a game I've been hearing a lot about lately that I really want to try out. But see, the biggest problem with a lot of these Steam games is I need to fix my PC. I need to get a new hard drive in it and everything.
Yeah, PC is pretty important to playing games if you want to play anything remarkable. I have a much better... I have a PC that's still probably upper edge. I bought an i7. I was looking to put together my first computer as my own computer, and I saw a deal at Micro Center for like $200 for i7. I'm like, what? They're always like $270, $300. What? And so I went ahead and like, that's a sweet deal. I'll buy it and I'll get the other components later. And then I realized that the i7s, especially from the series that I bought an i7-950, the motherboards were like $100 more than any of the other processors. Yeah. So I ended up losing that savings in the motherboard. But the good news is it was an i7, even though it was the lower end of that whole series. It still kicks butt, and I haven't had any problems playing any games ever since. So,
yeah, I'm actually on a Mac, an iMac right now, and but I have a PC that's up in my closet somewhere. I don't know how long ago. I don't know how many months ago it was, but. Yeah, the hard drive started going bad, and it would just get into this like endless startup loop before Windows started. So I think there was like a dead sector or something like that in the operating system. Yeah. So I want to actually get a solid state hard drive and put Windows on that, and then put that onto the computer so I could hopefully actually start up the computer and still be able to pick through stuff on the old hard drive. Be able to recover some of that and then eventually replace that hard drive.
Yeah.
That's my hope, at least. I need to figure out like what kind of solid state hard drive to get and everything.
Yeah. They're getting so cheap. My brother bought a solid state about probably two years ago. And I paid like $120 for 120 gig, I think.
Yeah.
Or thereabout. My brother turned around a year later and bought twice the size for the exact same price.
Yeah. Well, I still have, I think, around $50 on Amazon from a birthday gift card. I also have $100 from B&H Photo. They also sell hard drives there as well. So I have some options to actually buy it, but I just need to actually go out and do some research and try to find one that would be good for my computer.
Yeah.
But once I'm actually able to get that computer up and running, I'm gonna try to figure out how I can like jerry rig all that and my Mac together to hopefully, you know, make this weird Voltron-esque thing that can do all the things I want it to do.
Life is better when you have a computer that just does what you want it to do, and you don't have to think about it. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I would really like to get a new computer in general, like an actual gaming computer. One place that I've been looking into is Doghouse computers, which are pretty high-end gaming computers. The biggest problem is just cost, because the lowest end they have is, I think, about $1,300.
That's pretty pricey.
Yeah, but that would still probably blow away just about everything I would play on it pretty easily.
I think I spent about, all said and done, about $1,000 on my computer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it was pretty good. I could actually probably pull that up if I dig around for a minute.
Yeah.
I think that even includes a monitor.
Yeah, that's another thing that I would have to do is get another monitor.
Monitors are pretty
monies.
My computer.
Yeah, this thing would be a whole lot more awesome if I had the monies to do it.
Okay, but, looks like I spent $1,159 on my computer.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Yeah. I just really need to get my PC up and running. There's so many games I want to do.
And that includes the solid state.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Looks like. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, all right. So I think this is a good time to go ahead and get into our game of the week. Which we alluded to is Heroes of the Storm, which has been my current game addiction for the last, you know, couple months at least. So for those who are not in the know, Heroes of the Storm is a MOBA, which stands for, multiplayer online battle arena, I think is what that stands for.
Google to the rescue.
That's yeah, I'm pretty sure it's multiplayer online battle arena. But for whatever reason, Blizzard likes to refer to this as a hero brawler instead of a MOBA. But it's a MOBA. And for those who don't know, who are new to the genre, a MOBA is basically you are on a team of heroes trying to fight through these, you know, these outposts and stuff like that to get to your opponent's base and destroy their main building, whatever it happens to be called. And Heroes of the Storm, it's called the Core. So the two teams have a base on either side of the map, and you're just trying to get to basically fight your way through to the other side of the map to destroy their core. That's pretty much the whole point of a MOBA. And but the primary thing is you're only unlike a real-time strategy game, which this kind of functions similar to, you're only controlling one hero. You're not controlling an army. You're controlling only one hero. And in Heroes of the Storm, currently there are 36 heroes, and they already have a preview of another one in the works that'll probably be released, I want to say, June 2nd. And these heroes are from the whole gamut of Blizzard games. So Warcraft, Starcraft, and Diablo. And in addition to The Lost Vikings, which is one of Blizzard's really early games, which I think is like a platformer or something.
Yeah, but, it is a 2D side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah.
I played it at BlizzCon one year.
Really?
Yes.
You've actually been to BlizzCon.
I've been to BlizzCon!
Yeah, so we can't be friends anymore.
Are you too jealous? You can't get on my level? Don't worry, I have more time to game now, so my extraordinary nerddom earlier is weighed out by the fact that you get to play more games than me now.
Yeah, but I would sell an organ for a BlizzCon ticket. And a plane ticket and hotel room.
It wasn't super hard. Well,
how long ago was it?
This was sophomore year of college? So like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. BlizzCon 2010?
Grumble, grumble.
2011?
I would really love to be able to go to this year's BlizzCon because they're probably going to have a bunch of stuff for Overwatch. But anyway, we're getting off topic. But yeah, if you can't tell, we're potentially Blizzard fanboys. So we might, well, I know I am at least. What? Huge Blizzard fanboy. But the primary reason why I wanted to talk about Heroes of the Storm specifically this week is because this past Tuesday, March 19th, it went into open beta. Prior to that, it was in closed alpha and then a closed beta, so only people invited into it were actually able to get into it. And even then, just with basically, well, they did have a point where they had a founder's pack where you could buy your way into the beta. But other than that, you had to get invited in. And even before they went open beta, they had 11 million active players, which is pretty ridiculous. That's a lot of people in a closed beta.
What? 11 million people?
Yeah, that's like just under the absolute height of World of Warcraft. And, you know, like, about 4 million more than they have now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot of players. A very popular game. And this was before it went open beta this past Tuesday. So if you want to, you want to get into the game, you can immediately. And it goes into full release June 2nd, which really the only difference between open beta and a full release is a name change. Basically, it's release now. So
I think they make a minor promise to... I think it's implied that we will not make any significant changes at this point. We are completely comfortable saying this is our product. Open beta, they're allowed to make some mistakes or have bugs kind of deal.
Yeah. When it's although they've been... I significantly doubt they're going to make any sweeping changes.
Yeah.
Now that it's open beta. I mean, they're probably going to do some tweaking of numbers and stuff like that, but probably nothing particularly
right.
You know, huge. But yeah, I mean, this game was probably ready to go and ready to be released probably like 2 months ago. It's, you know, the beta process has been so smooth, and well, I can't say it's been so smooth, but it's been, you know, it's been, the beta process in general for Blizzard games is just phenomenal compared to a lot of other companies. You know, their games are so solid so early that, like, even before they went into closed beta, they could have released alpha and it would have been a phenomenally awesome game. And yeah, now, but anyway, getting back on topic. You know, yeah, they went into open beta March 19th. It's supposed to go into full release June 2nd. For the game itself, you know, it's free to play. You don't have to pay for anything to actually get into the game now. Now that it's open beta, all you need to do is, you know, basically have a battle.net account, download the game, and go from there. But you can buy, they do have a free rotation of heroes, which when you start off is, I think you have access to 5 heroes. And it changes each week. But you can buy heroes through... You can use real money or you can use in-game gold. And you just have access to that hero for good. And in fact, if you want to try to get into the ranked mode, which is a lot more competitive, you actually have to own at least 10 heroes. So I suck at ranked mode. Full disclosure, I am not an incredibly competitive. Well, I'm competitive, but not in the sense of being actually good. I can English good.
I are an Englisher.
But yeah, you can buy heroes. And skins, you can get different skins for your heroes and stuff like that for in-game gold or real money. And kind of like what I said with Hearthstone, to, you know, we are part-time gamers, we don't have a lot of time to play, so we don't really have a lot of time to accumulate a bunch of gold to buy these heroes. So what you can do, if you think that you're going to get at least $45 of value out of this game, which I would venture a guess, if you're going into this game, you will find a way to get $45 worth of value out of it. If you get the starter bundle, you can actually get bundles of heroes and stuff like that. So there are two bundles in particular right now. This is the starter bundle, which is $5, and the Nexus bundle, which is $40. Between those two bundles, so $45, it gives you 11 heroes, 4 skins, and 3 mounts, which is a substantial value.
$126.86 for the Nexus bundle for a whopping only $40.
Yeah.
16% off.
Yeah. I'm actually glad you mentioned that, because I actually bought both the starter bundle and the Nexus bundle. So I can't, I, once you buy it, you can't actually see what the actual value of them are.
I'm sorry.
But
apparently while you're looking at the starter packs, which I am right now, I'm looking at the next bundle. I've got Nazibu. I'm sorry, I didn't play Diablo, so my apologies.
Yeah, just Nazibu.
You can rotate the characters, and Nazibu is holding a troll head, which shakes around according to physics. And if you shake him really hard, he gets dizzy and like leans over all like stunned. It's pretty funny. Did not see that coming. And the troll head just whips around crazily. As you
I didn't know you could do that.
I like this game.
Wow, I seriously did not know that they would do that if you twirl them around. That's actually pretty awesome.
All right.
Wow. Anyway, yeah. Basically, if you get those two bundles, you are well on your way to having a really strong stable of heroes. And in fact, you know, also full disclosure, I'm only missing one hero. And I will probably end up getting him hopefully pretty soon. I just need a little bit more gold, and I can finish get him with the little bit of gold. And
I have one hero.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, you also just started playing today.
Yes.
Yeah. And so speaking of this, you know, knowing now that you have just started playing today, you've obviously have gone through the tutorial.
Yes.
You know, just the starting experience and such. Granted, you did say that you had some experience with League of Legends.
Yeah, it was probably about level, I don't know, like 15 or something in League of Legends, which is, that's a moderate amount of playtime.
Yeah.
Maybe even 20.
So you already had a little bit of experience with MOBAs, but what was, describe your experience with the tutorial going into Heroes of the Storm.
Well, the tutorial was pretty amusing. You start off playing Raynor. James Raynor from StarCraft, one of my favorite characters throughout all of Blizzard lore. And it gives you some minor context as to what's going on. It's kind of funny. Raynor is like, at several points, like, wait, so explain this one more time? Wait, so why am I here? And eventually Uther, who's giving him instruction, Uther was another pretty cool character. Uther's like, you know, this just works better if you don't think too hard about it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've done the tutorial, so I don't remember a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, so it was pretty amusing just to kind of see these characters interacting, and James is smack-talking Diablo. Diablo's like, I'm going to eat your tear. And James is like, you can't eat tear. It's intangible. And then the other guy, who is it, Smudges or the Abomination?
Stitches. Which is the one hero that I don't have right now.
He's like, yeah, actually, you can't taste terror. Diablo's like, okay, this is amazing just to see all these worlds colliding. The tutorial was, having played these games before, it was almost insultingly easy. It was not even remotely challenging.
But did it give you a good sense of the mechanics and such, and so at least the very starting gameplay of it?
Yes, that is what I will say. It did, at a fairly reasonable, quick pace, get me all the details. I would say, I wonder how it would be for somebody who hasn't really played MOBAs before, but for somebody who played, it was a good pace of introducing abilities. It paused to let you like read talents and upgrades as you leveled up and like went through. It introduced things one at a time in a fairly straightforward, quick, and detailed manner. So it was a very smooth tutorial. I liked it. I played through, and I already feel like I know just about all the nuances of the game. I'm sure I'll learn more and more finer mechanics. But as far as, you know, understanding the basics, I think I've got all of them. And it took me about 20 minutes to go through the first. It took me about 25 minutes. And then I played an extra match with you. So all said and done, I played about 35 minutes, and I feel like I've got a fair grasp of the game.
It kind of sucks that we don't have Zach here, because he started playing probably about a month or two ago. One of the promotions Blizzard did is anyone who was already in the beta, some of them got keys that they could give to friends and stuff, and I gave him one. So
Yeah, I
we
actually
played a
used
few.
yours. Even though it was open beta, I used the key you gave me. And then
Overkill.
it's like, it's open beta. I'm like, I'm using the keys on you.
But yeah, we played a little bit, and he I don't as far as I know, he's never played any sort of MOBA before, so it would have been really nice to get his opinion of it. But yeah, so for the most part, you think that the tutorial would give a new player a lot of the core elements of gameplay for Heroes of the Storm, right?
Yeah,
That's
I
your
would have to
opinion?
say that.
Okay. Which is I think that in general is a really good thing that Blizzard Entertainment does, is finds ways of easing new players into their games. And I think Heroes of the Storm is no different. And there's actually there's an article on BlizzPro for their Heroes of the Storm section of BlizzPro called Basic Heroes of the Storm Advice and When to Ignore It. It's actually a pretty good article, and it just has some when you're first starting off, it has some very good advice. Like for their first thing is new players should play versus AI, formerly known as cooperative. Basically just going into a match, it'll be your team will be all human players, but you'll be playing against AI. So it's that kind of scenario is it's a little bit more difficult than training, but it's still it gives you a lot of insight on your character, like what kind of mechanics your character has, how to it just gives you a place to practice, which is nice. So the advice they have is that basically whenever you start learning a new hero, go against AI first. Just learn their mechanics and such, which I think is a great idea, because despite the fact that I do think at least currently the community in Heroes of the Storm is not quite as toxic as like League of Legends or Dota or anything like that, it still has the potential of getting that way, and you'll still find a couple of bad apples, I guess. But it just seems a little bit more forgiving than some of those other ones. But just going into AI, going in against AI, figuring out your mechanics, unlocking all your talents. That's another thing is when you first start off, your talents, which is how you upgrade your moves and stuff during the game, are half of them are locked at the beginning of the game. Once you get your hero, the heroes level up individually. And then you also have an account level, which continues up to level 40. But once you get your hero to level 4, you unlock all of their talents and everything on them.
By level
They was it?
four on your hero, you get all of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Level 2, you get access to your second heroic. Level 3, you get half of the locked talents. Level 4, you get all of the unlocked or all of the talents unlocked.
Oh.
They also the thing the caveat to that is in the last patch they made it so that if you're account level 25 or higher, you have access to all the talents on all the heroes regardless. So I am already account level 40, so whenever we get a new hero, I don't have to level up the heroes to level 4 to get all of their talents. The only problem with consistently playing versus AI is the fact that if you plan on playing this game competitively against other players, playing against AI really reinforces some bad tactics because obviously the AI don't play like real people. So once you get a handle on the mechanics of your hero, it's a good idea to start going into quick matches, which are all humans. Keep in mind when you do that, when you're first starting off, it's going to be difficult. You're probably going to get killed a bunch, and it's a learning experience. And you'll learn a lot better habits and such in a quick match than you would versus AI. That being said, I still prefer playing against AI just because I like winning.
Yeah, that is definitely, I will second that, just from playing League. You know, I'd gotten up to like level 12 or 13 or something, kind of playing, trying to get good with. I remember playing Cho'Gall a lot. And then switching over to Quick Match, where I was underskilled compared to other people at the comparable level who had been playing Quick Matches more. Or the, you know, player versus player matches. So definitely I would recommend being careful. You know, don't expect grand success in quick matches if you've been doing a lot of versus AI.
Yeah. Although they are still, Blizzard still is improving the matchmaking system.
Yeah. But the goal,
the goal is for you to be matched up with people of similar skill. The thing is, when you're first starting off, it needs to assess what your skill is. So it's going to take quite a few matches before it finally figures out that where you are and puts you in matches of similar skilled players. But eventually they're improving it, and eventually that is what it'll do, is it'll put you against people who have similar skill. Yeah.
It wouldn't at all surprise me if Blizzard's got a better matchmaking system than League of Legends.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, with how many people have been looking forward to this game and have been playing it already. And yeah. Continuing on, the next section of their article says, you know, another big one is just plain don't die. You know, pretty straightforward. You know, when you're playing a game, you know, deaths give experience to your opponents. And it can very easily snowball. They start getting a level advantage on you, and then they're better able to take out your heroes or take out your forts or your minions and stuff, and then which gives them more experience, which gives them an even bigger level advantage. You know, so just not dying is incredibly important. That being said, on the flip side, if you lose one hero and they lose two, it's still a net gain. So, what were you going to say?
Indeed.
Yeah. I remember there was one match. There's one match I played where I was playing Tyrael. Tyrael has a trait that when he dies, he actually explodes and deals damage to all enemies that were in the explosion area. There was a match where I went into the middle of the fight. I ended up getting killed, but I was able to hit like three or four of the opposing team, and the rest of my team were able to kill three of them. So we lost one hero, the other team lost three. So that was still a basically an effective use of my character's death, and we still ended up ahead.
Yeah, and something I don't think you mentioned yet, I'm sorry if I missed it, or because I've been perusing menus and whatnot. But something that is really, really cool, having played two games and being a total expert on this kind of stuff, compared to League of Legends, is the team aspect is dramatically more emphasized in this. Your team, there's not individual experience. There is team experience. So when I kill a hero by myself, potentially, everybody gets experience. Or if, you know, Sean and I are working together and we kill somebody, it's not like, oh, Sean got the KB, so he gets the jump and I don't. No, we get the same experience if we're there fighting. Actually, regardless, as long as anyone on your team is near the hero when they die, your whole team gets the experience for it.
Yeah.
So
and also
final shotting kind of crap that you had to deal with in League of Legends.
Yeah. And also one thing that, lends itself to is the support role. You know, they have something we forgot to mention is there's four categories for the heroes. There's warriors, which focus on self-sustain, you know, just being able to take a lot of damage, being able to stay in the fight for a long amount of time. They don't do quite as much damage, but they're able to take a lot of damage. There's assassins, who are, those are the hero killers. They usually don't have a lot of health, but they usually have a lot of mobility and can deal a lot of damage in a short amount of time. Then there's the support role, which are able to heal other heroes and just general hinder the enemies as well. And then there's the specialist category, which is kind of a catch-all for basically any hero that doesn't do anything in the previous. But like this team aspect of the game really lends itself to the support role. Like there was a match I played where I did almost no damage to any of the opposing team, but I was playing a healer. So I made it so that my team almost never died, which is still incredibly powerful. And I didn't lose any experience because I wasn't attacking. So I really like how Blizzard has focused on this whole team aspect of the game. Which you don't really find in Dota or League of Legends, which is one of the other reasons why I like this game so much.
Yeah, I remember Cho'Gall was support, and so technically I was supposed to let some of the more potent assassins and slayers or whatever they were, I don't remember all the details of what people were, but I was supposed to let them get more of the final strikes, and, you know, it wasn't my responsibility to get the kills. I was supposed to help them snowball more. I was like, this isn't that fun. I mean,
yeah,
I have a role to play, but like, why can't I succeed? You know, my ability to ramp up throughout the game is limited because I have to let him ramp up more.
Grr. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually one of the reasons, like when I first heard about Heroes of the Storm, like I really like the genre. I really like even in the RTS world, I really liked, one of my favorite was Warcraft 3, because you had that hero unit that you invested in, that you leveled up and stuff. So I like this genre, but I tried playing Dota and there was just too much. You know, I don't want to have to take a college course to learn which items I need to buy in order to be effective as my character. So that's one of the reasons why I really like this game. if you can't tell, I really like this game. Continuing on, the next section of their articles, the headline is "Don't Attack the Tank." When you're in a team fight, it is usually not a good idea to focus on the tank. The warrior, because they are the ones who usually have the highest survivability. So when you're in a team fight, it is much better to attack the support or attack the assassins first, because they'll usually have less health and they'll usually have losing a support has a much bigger impact on the opposing team than losing a tank. So it's usually not a good idea to focus on the tank unless the tank is out of position. If it is more convenient and you're less likely to die from attacking the tank, then attack the tank until another target presents itself as a better target. But otherwise, avoid the tank, attack support, attack assassins. They're going to be contributing a lot more to the team fight. Next section is everyone should be in a lane. One thing that I don't think we really got into is kind of the structure of the maps. The structure of the maps is there's two bases on opposite sides of the map, and in between the bases are these distinct paths called lanes. And each team has a kind of an outpost, defensive outpost, a gate or whatever on each of those lanes, and has minions, which are just, you know, kind of
cannon
little
fodder.
Wimpy. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good term for a cannon fodder. Yeah, they're just random minions that just march along those lanes and, you know, just fight each other and, you know, so on and so forth.
If you play World of Warcraft, I noticed they start doing this in areas so you don't have to fight every single mob as you go in or out. It's basically those minions that are just fighting each other, and then you can pick up and kill the ones that you want, but otherwise they'll just stand there and fight each other.
Yeah.
So basically like that if you are playing WoW and you're not familiar with MOBAs at all.
Yeah. But at the beginning of the game, each hero wants to be in one of those lanes, killing off those minions. This is referred to as the laning phase. The reason you want to do that is because each time you kill a minion, you gain experience. So if, yep, for whatever reason, you're leaving, you don't have a hero in a lane. Say, for example, you have heroes in two lanes. The other team has heroes in all three lanes. You're going to start seeing their team level going higher than yours. They're going to be, because since they're gaining experience from all three lanes, they're going to be running, basically getting ahead of you in the level game. So early on, it's really important to pick a lane, stay in it for a little bit, you know, try to get a little bit of a level advantage. Go after heroes if it's convenient. Otherwise, stay in the lane, get experience. At some point, though, especially once you get into objectives on the map, which is also unique to Heroes of the Storm, each map has a certain aspect of it that kind of mixes up the gameplay, which can be very interesting. But basically, once the first objective starts happening, the laning phase kind of ends. You know, it doesn't become, after that point, you're going to have I can English words awesomely, kind of.
English harder, Sean. English harder.
I'm trying to English so hard. Anyway. Once objectives and, you know, things like that start occurring, laning becomes less important because you're just going to have more important priorities at that point. And according to this article, it says, you know, a good rule of thumb is that laning phase lasts until you reach level 10. At that point, you're going to be focusing on objectives, mercenaries, other heroes, pushing lanes, stuff like that.
I made the mistake in my first game of not... I'm like, where did everybody go? And then all of a sudden I saw that the objective was happening and it was like shooting at people. And I was like, what? Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is different than other MOBAs that I've played.
Yeah. And another thing that's really good about this game is Blizzard makes it very well known what the objectives of the maps are. As we mentioned when we started playing the game not too long ago, during the loading screen, it tells you what the objective of the map you're about to play is. So we played Blackheart's Bay, and it showed us, you know, you have to gather doubloons. You can get them from treasure chests, minions, and, you know, skeletons and stuff like that. You turn in the doubloons, and you can get Blackheart to fire his cannons on the opponent's base. You know, they make it pretty clear what the objectives are. And in fact, the last section of their article is focus on the objectives.
This is Sean Swift saying, Paul, you're a noob.
Well,
indirectly.
I've tried to say it nicer than that.
That was supposed to be funny. we're
all noobs at some point. I just happened to be a noob like 4 months ago. But yeah, there's a certain point, though, you know, where going after an objective is not necessarily the best idea, though. Like, for example, if the entire opposing team is on the objective, don't go blindly running into there trying to get the objective when you know you're probably just going to end up getting killed.
Run and gun, baby, run and gun. What?
Yeah. But, for the most part, the objectives are still very important. But you know, there was actually one situation, I remember on, was it Haunted Mines, where we were actually pretty close to winning. And the objective came up, which was we had to go into the mines and kill off these skeletons, gather skulls for these golems that spawned. And we were in the middle of getting all of these skulls, and we were doing really well getting these skulls, except we failed to realize that the entire opposing team was attacking our core. And they were able to burn down our core before we were able to get all the skulls. So we ended up losing that match because we were so focused on the objective that we neglected to pay attention to where the other team was. So, yeah, there's once you get into the mechanics, the mechanics are pretty easy to get into. Controlling your hero, you know, using your abilities, attacking, all that stuff. You know, as Paul's, you know, already said, you know, the tutorial experience is pretty, you know, pretty clear, pretty good. The real dynamic aspects of the game, though, are all the little minor strategies and figuring out, you know, okay, what time, what situation do I use this move? You know, figuring that stuff out takes practice and takes time, but that's the really satisfying part of the game, is figuring out, you know, what moves work well against what other heroes, figuring out, like, okay, they pick this kind of hero, so I should probably pick this talent to counteract them, you know, stuff like that. And in general, it's just a very fun game to play. And the best part of it is, like Paul mentioned earlier, the games are pretty short. Granted, we just did training mode, which is, you know, just easy. But that took us like maybe less than 15 minutes to play.
Yeah, easily less than 15. We started at about 10 to 8, and we were done by about 8.
Yeah, so just after 8. But I'll, like, it, once you get into quick matches and Hero League and stuff like that in the ranked mode, the games do get a little bit longer, but like the longest I've seen has been right around half an hour. So if you have an hour or so to just sit down and play Heroes of the Storm, you're probably going to get more than one game in, which is really good. Once again, why, you know, this is included in Part-Time Gamers. It's free to play if you want it to, and the games don't take very long to finish up, which is really fun. And I think that's pretty much all we have at this point. There are dozens of resources online for Heroes of the Storm. There's, you know, the Heroes of the Storm pages from BlizzPro. There's Heroes Nexus, which has a lot of information, a lot of news and talent calculators and stuff like that. There's HOTS logs where you can figure out a little bit more what your matchmaking rating is, which determines who you're matched against in the casual and ranked modes and stuff. There's, you know, another resource that I really enjoy that I support as well is the podcast Into the Nexus, hosted by the same guy who does The Angry Chicken. Really good podcast, really fun to listen to, and they give you a lot of insight into the game. You know, they both have experience, at least some experience, with other MOBAs, and are able to just give a lot more detail to the individual heroes and stuff. So I highly recommend listening to them as well. Other than that, I can't really think of anything else. Do you have any other comments?
One thing I've been thinking a lot or thinking about as we've talked through this, I think one point that is enticing to me is, like, I like utilizing heroes in RTSs. I'm a pretty big fan of RTSs. I was never spectacular, but I got decent. And so it was always fun for me to play the heroes. I liked playing the heroes in StarCraft II. I liked playing the heroes in Warcraft III a bunch. You know, I really enjoyed that. And so one of the cool things is, like, I get to see those heroes in this game, Heroes of the Storm. So all these heroes that I'm familiar with that I wanted to play, but, you know, that I was honestly not that good at utilizing in the RTS when you're commanding a whole army. Now I get to play these characters that I like in a context where all I have to worry about is them.
Yeah.
It's very focused. So you get that. If you liked utilizing heroes in RTSs, this game is a bunch of fun for you. You know, it basically focuses entirely on that. It plays like an RTS. It feels like an RTS as you move about, you know, right click to move. You know, if you've played StarCraft, you know, the controls are, you know, flawlessly in line with that. You know,
yeah.
QWERT, similar to, I played Grid in StarCraft. So, like, same keys that you use to build things or, like, do actions. So it's very natural, and it just refines it to that one aspect of gameplay that I enjoyed a lot. You don't have to worry about macroing your economy or microing minions during a fight. Just your hero.
Yeah, that's pretty much the exact reason why I prefer MOBA over RTS, just because it's much easier for me to get a hold of controlling one hero really well than trying to command, you know, a half dozen different armies to single targets and everything. I really, really suck at StarCraft. But I'm actually doing, you know, halfway decent at this, but... Yeah, I'm the same way. I prefer controlling one hero rather than an entire army. But on that note, I think that's about all we got for this one. So hopefully, the two of us will continue playing some games at some point. And I hope you'll be able to get into it, hopefully as much as I do. Maybe. Probably not, but I can hope.
Yeah, you can hope. I will play it here and there.
Yeah.
Make time.
But yeah, thank you for joining us. Was it?
After a rank 10 in Hearthstone.
Oh, jeez.
I probably won't even play enough games, but whatever.
Like I said, I still need to get to rank 20 for this season. I want my ninja card back. But anyway, everyone, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact us, you can with our email, parttimegamers.cast@gmail.com. It's parttimegamers .cast@gmail.com. Or you can contact us on Twitter. We have an official Twitter account for the show now. It's @PTGcast on Twitter. You can also contact me personally on Twitter as well, @Cyrenex. Yeah, Paul is still lame and doesn't have any of those things, so we'll just... That pretty much sums it up. Anyway, until next time, we are the Part-Time Gamers, and we are punching out of here.
Part-Time Gamers!
Yay! 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 Bye, guys!